fact that nobody's listening to him. He's lamenting the fact that he knows God's judgment is going to come on the people he loves. And while nobody's listening, and he's going through a difficult time, here's how he stirs himself. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. What did the writer of Hebrews say? He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Here he tells us that his hope is in the faithfulness of God. Amen. Therefore, it's not going to change for us in the New Testament or the Jewish commentary. So it's the faithfulness of God that is the substance of the things I hope for. Amen. So let's go back to the Psalms. The psalmist says, in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Amen. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And other than a winning lottery ticket, okay, I want you to search and in your mind come up with the greatest desire of your heart. The greatest desire of your heart right now. Because my Bible says I'm to commit my way to Yahweh, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You can open your eyes now. He shall bring, verse 6, he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Now watch. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Then he goes on to say, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. There's that word again. Don't burn, don't simmer, don't let that anger and that hurt consume you. I got to tell one on Debbie. It's all right. I ain't scared. Too much. She lost 60 pounds one time. It ain't been that long ago. She lost 60 pounds. All because she was walking on the front porch and some punk leaned out the car window and said, get your fat bleep in the house. I think she went right in, got on that treadmill, and she'd been walking ever since. But she let, now that was a good thing, but she let that young man dictate to her actions. You know, but at least she did go in the house and get on the treadmill. A lot of people would have turned around and given them, hey, I think you're number one sign, okay? Or like we said last week, number 11 sign, you know, okay? At least she went in and got on the treadmill. But that was just an example of how somebody had control of her at that moment. And that kind of worked out good, but it really was tough on her because she has low self-esteem. I've spent the greatest part of 28 years trying to build up that self-esteem on her. I'll just tell on her. I have to be very careful. If she does something, I cannot use the word stupid. That was stupid. The few times I've done that, I've sent her into a shell. And it's been weeks before she comes out of because of the way somebody else treated her in her life. Amen? So we never want to give people control of our lives. We always want God to be in control. But the only way God is going to be in control of your life is if you're trusting in him, trusting in his faithfulness, not taking things into your own hands. Listen, we were joking the other day. Somebody, I can't remember exactly what happened. Somebody did something. And I said, boy, they better be careful. I just said it joking. I said, they better be careful because I have never released all the anger that I had from when I had to go through that divorce and child custody case. It took 4 to 6 years. I said, just better be careful. I might just unleash on them, you know. And I kind of said that as a joke. My brother said, who would that be, on your old father-in-law? I said, I got to tell you a funny story. This man didn't like me. Can't blame him, okay? Can't really blame him. Things I did, I can't blame him, okay? But he got colon cancer. And his wife didn't tell nobody, but she called me because our church believed in healing. And theirs didn't. And she asked me if I'd pray for him. Well, they caught it early. They were successful. Well, almost every Bob Evans you've ever seen, this man has done at least all of the electric. Some of the heating and air, some of the plumbing. A lot of them he done it all. So he's wealthy, and he's very well connected. So it was when Dad and I were starting the new business, and we were headed to Virginia to look at trucks, and we stopped in Catlettsburg. And we stopped in Catlettsburg at the Speedway. And I'm in line at the Speedway. I don't know what I got, but I was going to pay for it. And somebody comes up and puts their arms around me. And I turn around, and it's my old father-in-law. At that moment, I didn't know if it was time to throw down or run, you know. And all he was doing, he was giving me a hug and thanking me for praying for him, because his wife had told him. And see, here's the point. When God's in control, when he's in control, then your life is going to make a difference to people that are watching you, to people that are living in this perverse and wicked generation. Amen. But he has to be in control. Amen? And I was just kidding about the pent-up anger, okay? I don't have any issues with that. Amen? If I did, it would have been, you know, we would have took it out on somebody a long time ago. But, you know, when you ain't very big, you got to be careful who you're going to take something out on, you know. Got to use a little wisdom, all right? But all I'm trying to tell you today is this. You have to let God be in control of your life. One of the ways we let God be in control of our life is to trust him. And one of the weapons of that warfare is praise. Learning to be a person of praise. See, what is praise? Praise is praising God for who he is, for what he's done. So what are you doing when you're praising God? You're magnifying him. Amen. What you magnify gets bigger. If you want to magnify the wrongs and the words that people have said to you and the actions people have done to you, then go ahead and fret. Go ahead and simmer. Go ahead and burn. Go ahead and let that anger consume you. And you won't be a light to the world. You won't even be a light to those who are closest to you. Because if you've ever been around somebody that was consumed with anger, you don't want to be around them very long. And the more they simmer and the more they cook, the more bitter they get. Amen? Let me ask you something. Were you forgiven? Were you really forgiven? Amen. Are you sure you were forgiven? Amen. Well, then act like you were forgiven. And walk in forgiveness. That doesn't mean, hey, I'm the righteousness of Christ or God in Christ Jesus. Yes, sir, I've been forgiven. Get out of my way, you dirtbag. No. No, to walk in forgiveness means you understand the power of God's forgiveness that forgave you, and therefore you're going to walk in that same forgiveness towards others. And I've got to warn you. You say, man, Pastor, that was a good word. I'm going to apply that tomorrow. I'm going to warn you. It won't be easy. It will not be easy unless you give control of your life to God. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen or oh me. Oh, I'm done. I'm hungry. I got a whole lot more notes there, but I got sidetracked somehow. Listen, trust in his faithfulness. And wait a minute, I got to add. Another verse later on said, wait. Wait Now, don't throw nothing at me or get mad at me. It says, wait on him patiently. Patiently. Don't pray for patience. Lord, don't pray for patience. Because God has a way of teaching us. And he has a way of using circumstances in life to teach us. Wait patiently. And you know, I said this last week. To wait on God means to trust him. It's not just sitting there fretting, burning, simmering, anxious. It's trusting him, hoping in his faithfulness. And then you become like, you know, a single cord is not as strong as three cords that are wrapped around each other. And so at the idea of waiting on God and trusting in God is you're getting stronger because God is wrapping his life around that single-stranded cord that's you. Amen? Amen? Making you stronger. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
Amen.
Mayor, how about you and Carolyn helping me here? We have communion over here. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. The devil does his best. His best is not good enough. While they're handing that communion out. Yeah. Well, you give a couple to everybody. Well, here, give them here. Here, well, you got to go help Terry. You got to go help Terry. Lucy, give a couple of these to everybody, will you? Hallelujah. Give a couple, yeah, tell you give them out. What's the date on there, Lucy? The date. March 18th, 19th, and 20th. It's a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. We're going to do a series of teachings here on Paul, grace, and the law, or the Torah. Okay? Hallelujah. We have this. There is a large part of the body of Christ that thinks we're under grace, and therefore the Torah doesn't mean anything to us anymore. So, we're going to address those. So, we're giving you a couple invitations to invite people. Hallelujah. And then I think the 30th of March, which is a Friday night, is Good Friday, and that is our Passover dinner. Did we tell Deb? Did you hear me, Deb? I'll set it over here. Everybody been served? I'm waiting on her. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Did you get Eli's, Kathy? There's yours, Deb. Here. Hallelujah. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon you, and by your stripes we are healed. And this morning, Lord Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, that whenever they ate of that communion table, they were to do it in remembrance of you. And this morning, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptizer, and the Holy Spirit, that you are right now our high priest interceding for us, and that you are soon coming King. In remembrance of you, with thanksgiving in our heart, we eat of your body this morning. Hold your cup up. Ready on three. One, two, three. L'chaim, to life. Amen. The Bible says that life is in the blood. And we know at Calvary, the Lord Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that. Not only mere partakers, but he said we could have it and have it more abundantly. You can have as much of God in your life as you're willing to put into that relationship. Amen. But it also represents the fourth cup in the betrothal ceremony, that the young bride would drink of that fourth cup. And by drinking of that cup, she was sealing her vow to remain faithful until he come. And the bridegroom would not drink of that fourth cup until after the wedding. Amen. So by drinking this cup, not only does it represent the life of Jesus, but it represents our vow of faithfulness to him until he comes. Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our heart and remembrance of you, we drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Anybody blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Well, stand up with me. Glory to God. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to allow you to be in control of our lives and not the people around us. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are in our fourth lesson on Wednesday, but if you haven't been able to come, still get in on it.
That's why I'm telling you. That's why
I've done it. I've done all I know to do other than just shut the whole thing down. I went on.